Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Hour number two of our radio program. Coming up 60 minutes from now, Brandon Cooks from the Dallas Cowboys will stop by. You know, I never thought we would find out maybe a little extra added motivation to what did transpire, how the Knicks were able to blow out the Indiana Pacers in Game 5, where the New York Knicks won by 30 points. I did not anticipate that there needed to be some gas being passed in the locker room to make sure that the Knicks would be able to get past the Pacers in Game 5. That would never be on my bingo card. And if you're just getting into your car, or if you're just tuning into the show, and that's the first sentence you heard me say today, no, I'm not lying. According to reports, a little toot in the locker room, maybe a big toot, ended up inspiring the Knicks to go on out and blow out the Pacers by 30 points. You don't believe me? Here is Knicks reporter Fred Katz going into what happened in the locker room. This is inside reporting if I've ever heard it. Here is Fred Katz on the gas that was passed inside the Knicks locker room that elevated them to blow out the stinking Indiana Pacers. Go ahead.
You know what I felt good about them? I felt good about them. I didn't think there was going to be no energy after I left the locker room before Game 5. I was in the locker room. I was talking to a bunch of guys.
Can you share that? Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to share one anecdote that showed me how loose they were because I'm not going to embarrass the guy. But there was an epic fart that loosened up the locker room a lot before the game. And I'm not going to say who it was because I'm not going to embarrass the guy. That was it.
Hold on. This reporter wants to protect the identity of the farter. That's where we're at. It clearly wasn't a silent but deadly fart, I'm assuming. It had to be a very audible fart. I don't think that there was a silent but deadly fart, and then all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, who passed gas? I don't think that occurred. I think this was a very, very, very loud fart. Kind of like a Marash type of fart. If you go back to when Maraz was working here all those years on the DA show. So now I have to guess, since the reporter wanted to keep the identity of the farter anonymous, maybe it violates a HIPAA violation. But give me that audio, Carlos, one more time. And I have to hear that audio one more time. And that will allow me to get a better idea of who potentially could be the man that passed the gas and inspired the Knicks to win by 30 points.
You know what I felt good about them? I felt good about them. I didn't think there was going to be no energy after I left the locker room before Game 5. I was in the locker room. I was talking to a bunch of guys.
Can you share that? Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to share one anecdote that showed me how loose they were because I'm not going to embarrass the guy, but there was an epic fart that loosened up the locker room a lot before the game. And I'm not going to say who it was because I'm not going to embarrass the guy. That was it.
Oh, excuse me.
Jeez, Carlos really just loosened up the locker room. Here at the Infinity Sports Network.
It's a little tense in here.
So it's not a major player. You know what? I am hoping it was longtime NBA player Alec Burks. I hope he passed gas in the locker room. It loosened up the locker room. And that's what made Tom Thibodeau say, I'm going to play Alec Burks. And then he exploded on the court for 18 points. 5 of 8 from 3. I don't know if that's the man that delivered the epic fart, but I think it could be the toot from Alec Burks that led to a great, great, great playoff performance. That will go down in the annals of NBA history. Of NBA legendary history. I had to be very careful when I said annals there. On how a fart elevated the Knicks, inspired the Knicks. Move over, Herb Brooks. Great moments are born from great opportunities. That's what you have here tonight, boys. That's what you've earned here tonight. Move over the legendary speeches that we have grown accustomed to in the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, whatever legendary speech you've ever heard of. All we need to know now is that if you fart in a locker room before a game, sometimes something that is so juvenile, right? Guys laughing about farts can ease the tension in the locker room and inspire a team to go off and get on the court and be loose and blow out the Indiana Pacers. You know what? I don't think the Pacers are going to win game 6 now. Pacers may have to start passing some gas in the locker room to win a game 6. Siakam, you better start farting. Because if you don't fart, someone in the Knicks locker room will. That's an incredible story. You know what? Stu, I have an idea. Whenever Samter is a little stressed before a show, which is like every other day.
I was going to say, when is that not the case?
Tell me another day that ends in Y. Maybe like we'll just make a call to the bullpen. Hey, Carlos, we need you on the show today. We need Carlos to pass some gas to kind of ease the tension. So, what a story that is. Anyway, coming off of the schedule release, we will do an impromptu overreaction, proper reaction. We get to that right now.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy?
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All righty, Stuart, what do you got for me today?
All right, Zach, during every NFL schedule release, one of the first things that we look at are how many primetime games that each team gets. Now, this season, there are 3 teams that have 6 primetime games each. Those teams are the Jets, 49ers, and the Cowboys. While 9 teams have 5 each, the Chiefs, Bills, Packers, Lions, Bengals, Ravens, Eagles, Dolphins, and Rams. So overreaction, proper reaction, the Jets, 49ers, and Cowboys are the 3 most deserving teams in getting primetime games.
That is an overreaction because it's the Kansas City Chiefs world and we're all living in it right now. They are back-to-back Super Bowl champions. They have to be one of the 3 teams with the most primetime games this year, and they're not. Next one.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, the Panthers are the lone team to not get a primetime game this season, while four other teams have just one, and those teams are the Colts, Patriots, Cardinals, and Titans.
How my team has fallen, the Patriots. They have one primetime game. It's week three up against the JTS Jets, which I thank the schedule makers for thinking of me. Thursday, middle of the week, early in the season, in the swamps of Jersey. I could go make that, not too cold, you know, in late September. If they schedule that game in November, December, I don't know if I'm going, so I appreciate the schedule makers. But the Patriots used to be the kings of primetime games. Now they stink. Now I'm back with all the peasants of the NFL world as they were trying to get in the penthouse for all those years. That was a humbling moment when I read that last night.
How times have changed. Overreaction, prop reaction, the Panthers are the least interesting team in the NFL this season.
No, that's an overreaction, and here's why. I'm always interested in chaos. That guy, David Tepper, you don't know how the heck he's going to control himself. He could be dumping water in people's faces in like week four. That's interesting. And Canales, you know, he seems like a character. He talked about how he once had a porn addiction. And Dave Canales, well, we're talking about porn addiction and farts here on the Zach Gelb Show. That's really something. And then Bryce Young, the redemption story. Does he have a chance to actually succeed, or is he going to go down as an NFL bust? So, no, I do not think the Panthers are the least interesting team in the NFL this season.
Now, one game that has caught the eye of many is Kirk Cousins' return to Minnesota to take on his former team. However, it's not until Week 14, and it won't be in prime time as it'll be in the 1 o'clock Eastern time window. So, two-part overreaction, proper reaction here. One is Cousins' return to Minnesota should be a primetime game, and part two, it should be scheduled for earlier in the season to guard against another Kirk Cousins injury.
Overreaction to everything here. This doesn't need to be a primetime game. The fact that people are outraged by this, Kirk Cousins, he's returning to Minnesota. He's a good quarterback. This is not Tom Brady with the Buccaneers going back to Foxborough. There's no like juiciness. Like, put it this way, because that's not a good comparison, Brady. Russell Wilson was a disaster in Denver. That's fun seeing him go back to Denver with the Steelers because there was animosity at the end. There was no animosity between Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings. So, no, that doesn't need to be a primetime game. I don't need that to be a primetime game whatsoever, so I'll go overreaction. By the way, a great tweet by Craig the Randall on X. Listening to Zach Gelb talk about treading lightly and staying loose while sharing the Knicks locker room story has been absolute gas. Good job. Good line. All righty, we continue.
Well, now, while each team has six games against division opponents, as we know, those games are typically spread out throughout the season. However, two teams this season won't play any division games in the first 10 weeks of the season, the Bears and the Steelers.
That should be criminal.
That means six of their final eight games of the season are against divisional rivals. Overreaction, proper reaction, not playing in-division games in the first 10 weeks of the season will benefit both the Steelers and Bears.
Like, I know that how that is possible, but I don't understand how that is possible. And Colton, who's with us today training, he is a massive Steelers fan. And we know that fan base is probably already, this is why the NFL hates us. Oh, they're trying to screw us. Come on. Use those terrible towels to wipe up those tears. But they're not wrong. I don't know about the NFL trying to screw you. But the Steelers and the Bears, they're not playing a divisional round game in the first 10 weeks of the season. That's wild. That's stupid. And it makes it out for a very tough road for the Steelers and the Bears to get in the postseason because it doesn't matter how good or bad you are. Divisional games, anyone could win. Like, we had the Raiders beat the Chiefs last year late in the season on Christmas Day. So for that to happen, will benefit the Steelers and the Bears is the question. Absolutely not. So that's an overreaction. That doesn't benefit them.
Yeah, and for the Steelers, their last eight games, home against the Ravens, at the Browns, at the Bengals, home against the Browns, at the Eagles, at the Ravens, home against the Chiefs, and then home against the Bengals. So those are eight pretty tough games.
Yeesh. Hey, Colton, jump on the mic for a second, because I want to hear you whine about the Steelers, because I see you're in disgust right now. I never realized how tall Colton is, by the way. How tall are you, by the way?
6'3", sir.
6'3"? Jeez. Yes,
sir. Yep.
All right, tell me about your crappy schedule.
I don't get it. Again, first 2 weeks on the road to start off the season. I'm not here to complain about the schedule. It happens to Pittsburgh all the time. I feel like it was 12 years since they had a season opener at Acrisure Stadium. So I'm not shocked by them getting canned with the schedule. But the final 8 weeks, goodness me. It's brutal.
All righty. Yeah, that was kind of like a chef answer. Yeah,
what do you want me to come on here and whine? That's what you want me to do.
Yeah,
I want
you to perform. I want you to dance.
I'm not gonna come on and complain for you. I'm not gonna do it. I know how you Patriots fans work.
What do you mean how I work?
I know how you work, Zach. I'm not falling into it, Zach.
I'm just asking. There's always an excuse with the Steelers.
I'm not falling into that. I'm not like every other Steeler fan. Okay. It is what it is, man. So no, we're gonna find out how good they are, Zach.
What I meant by the Shep comment was when we brought Shep on like last week, he was trying to give me all these like professional answers. We just want some fun answers.
See, I'd love to come on here and come spitting fire for you, but I'm not shocked by us getting canned with the schedule. So
will Russell Wilson be your starter for the entirety of the season?
No.
When will Justin Fields get on the field returning kicks?
Yeah, that's a lot. I can't believe. I hope you don't think that's real. Every time I've been behind the scenes a few times when you brought that up. There's no way there's truth to that.
No,
at all,
I don't think it will happen, but Jalen Warren said it. It's not like it was coming from like the Onion.
I think a coach said, like, man, imagine Justin Fields back there with this new setup. They signed Cordarrelle Patterson right after the rule change. That's the return guy. Yeah. Let's not cut it, but I think maybe week 6.
Oh, that early.
Yeah. I think the Steelers, coming out of the draft process, Tomlin loved Justin Fields. So if Russ isn't cooking out of the gate, I could see him easily, because that's your future possibly.
All righty. Well, we're going to put you back on the bench because I got to finish this segment. So, Stu, go ahead.
So the NFL used to have a rule where the teams would only have to play once per year with a four-day turnaround. However, that rule is now gone.
Yeah, because they don't care about player safety.
They don't, as there are 13 teams that have to play twice.
13?
On a four-day turnaround, so almost half the league. So overreaction, proper reaction, the NFL should not require teams to play on four-day turnarounds more than one time per season.
That's a proper reaction. That's a joke, and that's another instance where the NFL tries to tell you they care about player safety, don't give a rat's ass about player safety.
But, Zach, the Guardian caps, of course they care about safety.
Yeah. Remember, we got rid of the kickoff for player safety, and then we don't like there's not enough return, so now we're going to come up with this Fugazi kickoff, and we're going to basically try to get people back into the – it's like – and then they'll add another regular season game down the turnpike. You know that's going to happen. Oh, but we eliminated another preseason game. Come on. They don't give a rat's ass about player safety. Anyway, let's continue.
So on Thanksgiving Day this year, the triple header starts out with the Bears – at the Lions, followed by the Giants at the Cowboys, and ending with the Dolphins at Packers. Overreaction, proper reaction, this is the most excited you've been for a trio of Thanksgiving Day games in recent memory.
Overreaction, Giants, Cowboys in the middle of Thanksgiving?
Best game, best one.
P.U. Do I have to see, I hope Daniel, is Daniel Jones or Drew Locke on the field? Give me a break. Bears, Lions, though, good. Dolphins, Packers, good game, but that middle game is just atrocious. Atrocious.
Great way to set dinner.
Terrible. You know what? I'm happy my family does Thanksgiving on the earlier side because I have older grandparents at 92 and 96, I believe now. So I will be in my food coma by then for the Cowboys and the Giants, and I'll be happily missing that game. All right, let's continue, Steph.
All right, now some might argue that the schedule makers didn't do the 49ers any favors, giving them four opponents coming off of bye weeks this season. But that might not matter too much, as San Fran is favored in all 17 games at the moment. So overreaction, proper reaction, the 49ers will win at least 13 games this season.
13. Definitely possible. They won 12 last year. They had that little midseason stretch where they lost like three games in a row and people were panicking. 13's a big number, especially with how many times they've been deep in the playoffs. I'm going to say it's back to like 12. So just short. So I will go overreaction.
It's not rare for NFL teams to be away from home for consecutive weeks. It's also not obscure for teams to have three straight road games. And this season, there are four teams that will have stretches of three straight games on the road. And they are the Bills, Browns, Bears, and Vikings. So overreaction, proper reaction. The NFL should not have teams play more than two consecutive games away from home.
Overreaction, I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that whatsoever. So I'm fine if they want to do three straight road games. And then finally.
And last but not least, four teams have at least 9 games this season against teams that made the playoffs in 2023. And those teams are the Cowboys, 49ers, Bengals, and Ravens. The Ravens actually have 10. So overreaction, prop reaction, either the Bengals or Ravens will miss the playoffs this season due to their tough schedules.
I'm going to say overreaction. Just in the moment, I feel like the Bengals win that division. I feel like the Ravens are a playoff team. But I will be curious this summer when I sit down and I give you my 7 playoff teams in the AFC and NFC if both of them will be in it, because the AFC is absolutely loaded once again. But right now, I will say that's an overreaction because I feel like both the Ravens and Bengals will get it. Okay, coming on back, this is Zach Gelb Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
Alrighty, so the NFL schedule does get released last night. Brandon Cooks from the Dallas Cowboys is going to stop by in about 35 minutes from now. But for some reason, I identified these three teams. Not the most intriguing teams. Like, I'm not going to say these are the three most intriguing teams out of the season, but just three teams that intrigue me are the Jets, the Bears, and the Cowboys. The Cowboys, after 3 double-digit win seasons, you know, just came off a division championship, but no postseason success. Are they going to be able to improve off that? What will their regular season look like, especially with Mike McCarthy being the final year of his contract and Dak Prescott being the final year of his contract? The Bears, it's the start of a new era with Caleb Williams, and then it's also the Jets with hopefully getting Aaron Rodgers actually on the field. So I'm going to give Carlos the Cowboys, I'm going to give Stu the Jets, and I'm going to take the Bears. And we're just going to do a quick win-loss to see what their schedules are going to look like and how we think they're going to play out this year. So give me some NFL music for this. Oh, is that like a remix in the beginning? That was fancy in the beginning.
Only the best for you.
Let's start with Carlos. I will give you the Cowboys schedule. You just give me win or loss. Their season starts up in Cleveland at the Browns.
Loss.
Then they go and play the Saints. This is in Dallas.
Win.
Ravens, week 3 in Dallas.
Win.
At the Giants, short week. Thursday night football.
Win.
So you have them at 3-1 through their first 4 games of the season. Then, Sunday, October 6th at Pittsburgh.
Win.
Ooh. So a 4-1 start, and you hate the Cowboys.
What a passion.
Following week, let's hope that the refs report everybody eligible that is reporting eligible, because they didn't do so correctly last year. You have the Cowboys and the Lions in Jerry's World.
Loss.
Okay, so entering the bye, Carlos has the Cowboys at 4-2. Coming out of the bye, they are at San Francisco.
Loss.
Them at 4-3. At the Falcons.
Loss.
A loss to the Falcons?
Three-game losing streak. Wow. I see it here.
So you have them at 4-4. That would shape up well for November for a national show. Cowboys at 4-4 coming off a loss to the Falcons. Kirk Cousins getting the best. I always think Kirk Cousins will be the quarterback still by then against Dak Prescott. Next week, after that, November 10th, they are back home in Dallas. They welcome in the Eagles.
At home, that's a win.
So you have them at 5-4. The Battle of Texas in Dallas. Monday Night Football. That's a good game. You have the Cowboys and the Houston Texans.
C.J. Stroud makes his name even bigger. That's a loss.
At the Commanders the following week.
Win.
Giants after that.
Win.
Jeez, you really have to think about that one. So you have them at 7-5 entering December. Monday Night Football, the Cincinnati Bengals. That game's in Dallas.
Win, only because they're in Dallas.
After that, at Carolina.
Win.
You have them at 9-5. Final three games of the season. Tampa Bay in Dallas.
Loss.
Ooh, Baker Mayfield. At Philadelphia.
Loss.
And then to wrap up the season, they are home against the Commanders and Jaden Daniels.
Easy win.
So you have them at 10-7.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair record. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be a 12-win team again. I think they're going to regress a little bit. But I'm fine with that. You know, the three-game losing streak, a little bit was, you know, I wasn't expecting it, but I can't crush you for any of those predictions. So you have the Dallas Cowboys at 10-7. Stu, you are up. I'm giving you the J-E-T-S Jets, Jets, Jets with Aaron Rodgers making his return to the gridiron in a regular season game on Monday Night Football to start off the season in San Francisco.
That is a loss.
Okay. At Tennessee following week.
That's a win.
Yeah, 1-1. Patriots Thursday night. That is at MetLife Stadium.
That's a win.
Broncos following week.
Also a win.
3-1 to open up the year for the Jets. Then they go to Minnesota in week 5.
I believe this is the London.
Oh, that's in London. You are right.
Yes.
Yeah, good job out of you.
I know London is a little weird, so I will say they will lose that game.
Okay, so 3-2. They then have the Buffalo Bills at MetLife Stadium.
Loss.
Monday night game, by the way.
Yeah.
And how many times are they going to show the Rodgers injury?
Yeah, that, I think that's going to be a loss.
Okay, so you have them at 3-3. At Pittsburgh, week 7.
That's tough. Week 7.
Sunday Night Football, by
Sunday
the way.
Sunday Night Football.
Bum, bum, ba-da-bum, bum.
I think it's a loss.
Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-bum.
I say loss.
Really?
I do.
3-4 for the Jets through 7 games? All righty, at the Pats.
That's a win.
Yeah, I can't even debate that, really. Texans, week 9, short week, MetLife Stadium.
Loss.
You know what? That will be a game. That's Halloween night. I will go trick-or-treating that night at MetLife Stadium. I love C.J. Stroud. I, you know, didn't like it when he's at Ohio State. You know, he's a Michigan guy. But I really love what C.J. Stroud did last year. So you have them at 4-5 through 9 weeks. At the Cardinals, week 10.
Win.
Okay, 5-5. Colts, week 11. That game at MetLife Stadium.
Also a win.
That is Sunday Night Football. Okay, Anthony Richardson and Aaron Rodgers. Bye week, week 12. I would say you can't lose the bye week, but sometimes the Jets do lose the bye week. Week 13, the Seahawks at MetLife Stadium.
At home, I say win.
Okay. Week 14 at Miami.
Think they lose that game.
So you have them at 7-6. Week 15 at the Jaguars in Duval.
That's a win.
Okay. 8-6. Then week 16. Rams, 1 o'clock game, MetLife Stadium. West Coast team coming to the East Coast.
Yep, I think that's a win.
Ooh, getting hot here. Week 17 at the Bills.
Loss.
You have them losing to Buffalo twice.
Yeah, I do.
9-7. And then finally the Dolphins, last week of the season, that game at MetLife Stadium.
Probably to get into playoffs, maybe for both teams. I think they win that game.
So 10-7. I think that's a fair record for the Jets. You know, I give Carlos credit at the Cowboys at 10-7. I thought that was fair. Stu, 10-7. I think that's fair as well. Okay. Last one. How about the Bears, Stu? You want to pull up the Bears schedule just to make it easier so yep. You could read it to me and I'll give you the wins and losses.
Got it right in front of me. They start with the Titans at home.
I'm going to go a win there. I think that's going to be a really good game. First game for Caleb Williams. No, I think that Tennessee team has a good roster. They're still the fourth team in that division, but I'm going to go win for the Bears.
Next week, they are at Houston for Sunday Night Football.
That's a good matchup. Williams and Stroud. I'm going to go loss. 1-1.
Week three, they are at the Colts.
I'm going to say loss. I like Shane Steichen and Anthony Richardson with Jonathan Taylor in that one. 1-2. And a stingy Colts defense, too.
The next week, they are at home against the Rams.
And that's a 1 o'clock game?
That's a 1 o'clock game. So, again, that's the Rams traveling all the way east, or to Chicago to play the 1 o'clock Eastern.
I'm gonna say that's a loss. That's 1-3 to start off the year.
Next week, they got the Panthers at home.
Win. 2-3.
Then they go overseas to play the Jaguars the following week.
It's kind of like a home game for the Jaguars. I'm going to say that's a win. I put them at 3-3.
Okay, then they have the bye week, and then coming off of the bye week, they go to Washington.
I'm going to say off of bye week, a lot of people will like them in that spot. Command, I think that's a slip up. They lose that game, 3-4.
Following week, they're still on the road, and now they're at Arizona.
Got some good matchups here with young quarterbacks. Kyler Murray up against Caleb Williams. I'm going to say that's a win. Bounce back spot coming off the crushing loss puts them at 4-4.
Finally back home against your Patriots.
Yeah, it's a win. I hope Drake May's playing by then. November 10th, maybe he is and maybe he isn't. I looked at the schedule. I thought November 3rd would be the first time I would see Drake May. But the Patriots just don't have anything really on offense. And you look at the many weapons you have in Chicago with Moore, Keenan Allen, and Roma Dunze. I will say that's a win for the Bears, who blew out the Pats last year with Justin Fields. So 5-4.
Home against the Packers.
That's a home game?
That is a home game, yes.
You know what? Because it's at home, I'm going to say that's a win. And that would be a huge win for that franchise. That could be their biggest game of the season, as stupid as that sounds. Because you know how important the Bears-Packer rivalry is? You could show that you have your guy, or make those fans really think you have your guy if you beat Green Bay. So I'm going to say 6-4.
Third straight home game, this time against the Vikings.
So you win the big one, then the next week you get a letdown. J.J. McCarthy finds a way to get the job done. 6-5.
On the road, Thanksgiving Day, short week at the Lions.
I'm going to say that's a loss, 6-6.
At the 49ers.
I'm going to say loss, 6-7.
Third straight road game on the road against the Vikings, Monday Night Football.
They will split against the Vikings this year, so I go 7-7.
Back home against the Lions, week 16.
I'm going to say they get one against the Lions this year. They got one against them last year. So I'm going to go 8-7 there.
Okay, then they have the Seahawks at home, Thursday Night Football. Quick turnaround.
I'm going to say that's a win, 9-7.
And then they finish the season at the Green Bay Packers.
That will be a loss. I'll have them split with the go, Pack, go. So 9-8. I think the 9-8 could be a playoff team in the NFC for Caleb Williams in year one. So fun little win-loss exercise that we did. Carlos we gave him the Cowboys. He has the Cowboys going 10-7. I gave Stu the Jets. He had them going 10-7. And I have the Bears going 9-8. We'll do a news brief next. Update time first, though. Here he is, Patty Boyle.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
All right, Zach, we've already got record-breaking stuff on day one of the PGA Championship at Valhalla Golf Club in Louisville. Xander Schauffele goes 9 under par. He shoots a 62 in his opening round. That ties the record for the lowest ever round at a major, a record he already co-owns from last year when he did it at the U.S. Open. He's obviously atop the leaderboard. Rory McIlroy tied for fourth at 5 under, and reigning Masters champion Scottie Scheffler wasted no time today. He eagled on the first hole. That's still where he's at, 2 under through 6 for Scotty. Baseball, 1 day game today, which is in the books. Clark Schmidt, 8 dominant innings. Yankees complete the sweep and shut out the Twins for the second straight day, 5-0 the final. NBA playoffs, 1 game tonight. The reigning champs look to get back to the Western Conference Finals. The Nuggets up 3-2 on Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves. Minnesota tries to keep their season alive in front of their fans. Tip-off, 8:30 Eastern. On the ice, the Rangers were up 3-0 on the Hurricanes. Now it's 3-2, and Carolina forward Martin Natchez says team isn't giving up.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra, extra, read all about it.
Time. time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group right now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Let's start off with Sir Charles Barkley on Inside the NBA. He was not impressed with the Celtics offense, even though the Celtics did take care of the Cavs in five games, and now we're advancing back to the Eastern Conference Finals.
They had the worst offense I've seen for grown folks. Is it like, they just get a ball to one guy and go one-on-one. They win a lot of games because they got talent, but it's like, what are they doing? It's like, here, Jason, you get to the top of the key, go one-on-one, shoot a step back three. Jalen, you go back there, you make a move. Everybody just stands around. It's frustrating. Maybe some things will change when Porzingis come back, but the way they play offense right now, they can't win a championship like that.
It's tough to evaluate the Celtics because the first two rounds, there could only be negative reactions. They won the first series in five, they lost game two. They won the second series in five, they lost game two. Everyone knows this team's going to the finals, and then it only matters what your offense looks like in the NBA finals. So it's tough for me knowing what the standard is, and I'm not saying they're walking through the motions, but when you are up 3-1 in a series and you know that's an elimination game and the other team has like no one healthy, you don't need to look that crisp. Here is Luka Doncic. He had a triple-double last night, as we did tell you earlier. Luka's strong performance, which was his third 30-point triple-double of his postseason career, ties him for second most in such games by a player age 25 or younger. Oscar Robertson did it seven times. LeBron and Luka Doncic both three times. And then Russell Westbrook two times. Here is Luka Doncic on the big Game 5 victory to put his team up 3-2 to go back to Dallas with a chance to close this sucker out.
I think we've been playing great defense, but you know, some little stuff we didn't do in past game, we did today. I think, I don't know how many offensive rebounds they had, but they had like four in the first 3 minutes, and then we cleared that up, and we just played with a lot of pace.
And you have no clue how this series is going to play on out. Thunder win game one, then the Mavs win 2 and 3. They're up 2-1. You're thinking, okay, they're getting momentum. Then they drop game four on their home court. And then you're going back in a 2-2 series to Oklahoma City. You're thinking, okay, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's going to get the job done. And he was good last night. But Luka was just sensational. And P.J. Washington didn't play a great game, but down the stretch hit a big three, had a big dunk. And you have the Mavericks go up 3-2, and now they go home. And I'm going to guess here. And I had the Mavericks win the series before the series started. When it got to 2-2, I definitely thought the Thunder would win the series. You would think. You would assume, and you know what happens when you assume, make an ass out of you and me. You would assume the Mavericks are going to win game six, but who knows? Did you see the hockey? Three of the series that, out of the four series that are going on right now, they were at 3-1, and all the teams that were at 3-1 were on their home ice with a chance to close the team out in game five, and none of them did so. Stars lost to the Avalanche last night with a chance to close them out. Rangers a few nights ago, they lost to the Hurricanes. And the Panthers lost to the Bruins in Game 5. So now all those series are 3-2 as they now go to the road team that's trying to force a Game 7. So we'll see how many of those road teams tonight or throughout the next few days will be able to advance to the conference finals. Okay, let's get back to the NBA. Luka Doncic on being taunted by the Oklahoma City crowd.
Luka, this Oklahoma City fan base has taken a little bit of a liking to you, so to speak. As a competitor, do you thrive on just being able to silence the crowd the way you did in the game that you had?
Love it. And when they chant Luka sucks, it gets me going. It's even better.
That's awesome. And that's how it should be. As long as it like never crosses a line. Like if you're just going to chant Luka sucks, I think that's in, in all fun nature. You know, in terms of being a sports fan, but it sometimes in a hostile environment, which you want, it could go against you when it provides a little extra motivation. And you have some players that will get rattled by that. Luka Doncic, obviously not one of those players. Let's continue here with the Mavs. Here's Jason Kidd, the coach of the team. He loved the effort that he saw in Game 5.
We were aggressive. The mindset, you know, whoever's going to come out to be aggressive, it tends to get the lead or control of the game. And so for us, it was attacking the ball, touching the paint, and making plays for one another. I thought the energy was at a high, and the being unselfish was at a high level too.
So Mavs go up 3-2. We'll see if they could close it out returning home. NFL schedule was released last night. Joe Buck was doing an interview, the voice of Monday Night Football on ESPN. And he was actually asked about his Disney trip with 6-year-old twins. Listen up.
Don't look a day over 55 either. So
I feel 155. I've got twin 6-year-olds.
That's what that trip to Disney World did to you.
Yeah.
We were there for nine days. We were there for 9 days. My back is still recovering. I am old. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. I loved it. Disney. Yes. Unbelievable.
Totally. Yeah, they had the best time. That's all that matters. Ibuprofen, trust me. My back's a little sore from April. I get it.
Get you a pretzel.
Ibuprofen is just the start, Kevin. It's just the start. Yeah.
Is that Joe Buck just saying after the ibuprofen, he's hitting maybe like the whiskey bottle? Or I'm just going to go out on a limb here.
As long as he doesn't operate heavy machinery, it's fine with me.
Okay. Let's hear from one voice to the next. This is Kevin Burkhart, the lead voice on Fox for football and announcing games with Tom Brady this season, courtesy of the NFL Network.
Anytime you have a new partner in anything, and I've had a few now, you just got to build a relationship, right? And I knew Tom from a working relationship, but I didn't really know him from a personal relationship. So I think that's number one, and we've been doing that and spending time together. And then the second part is we're working behind the scenes, right? We're rehearsing and practicing and just kind of getting used to each other. And he's getting used to TV, and it's been cool. I mean, there's been moments, I think I shared this on your show a few weeks ago, but there's been moments where he just says something and you're like, oh my gosh, that is so cool. And I'm nerding out, and for him, it's kind of commonplace. So I think there's going to be a lot of those moments because we've never heard him really talk about that stuff, you know? So I think there's going to be a lot of firsts for him where people are like, whoa, that was pretty neat.
I think Brady is going to be a lot better in the booth than what people think, but I'm sick and tired of talking about the announcers. Poor Greg Olsen, he got demoted. And I understand he took a $7 million pay cut. He's calling games still. He's on the second team with Joe Davis. It's like, ugh, I'm just sick of the I hope Brady's a rock star. Because everyone that's been whining and bitching and complaining about this whole Greg Olsen stuff, Greg Olsen's a good announcer. I'm not saying anything negative about Greg Olsen. He's good. But people act like it's a crime with what Fox did. It's the upside of having the greatest quarterback of all time being a stud at this. You take that risk even if he ends up stinking. Oh, Carlos, I like you a lot. But don't tell me you're one of these people that are like, oh, poor Greg Olsen.
Listen, he's got more money than I'll ever have. But a $7 million haircut is a $7 million haircut.
You mean pay cut?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean by haircut.
Oh, okay. Is that what you said? Is that like some joke that I don't
know? Yeah, it's like something that's thrown around. Yeah, it's a haircut.
Okay. Let's go to Odell Beckham Jr., the impact Mike McDaniel had on him signing in Miami.
He sold it to me. Because it's just his energy. It's just we speak the same language. We was talking the conversations we had about football. And just the opportunity that's here, like, is presenting itself. And, you know, God put it in front of me, and that's kind of just where I went and rolled with it.
And then finally we go to the ice. Stars are up 3-1 in the series. Had a chance to close out the Avalanche, who won the Cup 2 years ago. Had a chance to close them out on their home ice. They had two leads. Pavelski made it 1-0. Then they found a way to get up 2-1. Cale Makar came up huge on the power play to make it 2-2. And going into the third, Casey Mittelstadt, he got the goal early into the third to put the Avalanche up 3-2. Here's Avalanche Radio.
Mikko Rantanen, 100 career playoff points for him. Works it to the corner. Out there with the second line, Parise knocks it down. Works to the slot. Leaves it for Sam Girard. Shot through traffic. Knocked down Parise. Wide open net. It's off of Ottinger and in. The mighty Casey has struck for the Colorado Avalanche. He has goals in back-to-back games, and Colorado has their first lead of the series. 3-2, a minute and 12 seconds into the third period.
So there you go. A 3-2 lead. Now, I used to like Connor McGehee a lot, who's the Avalanche voice. Those are two calls I've heard from this postseason where I think he's trying to jam like 50 pounds of crap into a 25-pound suitcase. Makar ended up getting another goal. Stars did answer back to make it 4-3, and then Nathan MacKinnon late in the game did step up and deliver with the goal. So Makar and MacKinnon stepping up. Whenever you have MacKinnon and Makar stepping up, it will usually take the Avalanche very far. But in this case, it leads them to a game six back on their home ice with Dallas up 3-2. Okay, we will take a 5-minute timeout right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. You'd always interact with us on Instagram, Twitter, X, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. You can hit us up 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. When we come on back, how about them Cowboys? Brandon Cooks, Cowboys wide receiver, will be joining us on the show when we return.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Tired of sifting through countless supplements? Unsure of what's actually effective? Introducing Legion, the choice of over 800,000 discerning fitness enthusiasts. With all-natural products, clinically effective ingredients, doses, and hassle-free money-back guarantee, you can achieve your fitness goals without the unnecessary guesswork. Say goodbye to wasted efforts and hello to results with Legion. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, or get healthy, but the right ones can help. Visit LegionAthletics.com. Go to LegionAthletics.com to get 20% off your order now.